We transcended such simple mechanical devices when the universe was young. The languid voice held all the effortless superiority that the Doctor always found so infuriating. He controlled himself with a mighty effort.
Whatever I may have done, whatever crimes I committed in your eyes, I have made ample restitution. I have done you great services, and I was given my freedom as a reward. I will not tolerate this continual interference in my lives.
The Time Lord looked thoughtfully at him and began to stroll across the battlefield with the air of someone taking a turn on the lawn at a garden party. The dull rumble of gunfire came from somewhere in the distance.
Continual interference, Doctor? We pride ourselves we seldom intervene in the affairs of others.
Except mine,
said the Doctor bitterly. He hurried after the Time Lord.
Ah, but you are an exception, Doctor. A special case. You enjoy the freedom we allow you. Occasionally, not continually, we ask you to do something for us.
The Doctor came to a halt, his arms folded.
I won't do it,
he said obstinately.
Whatever you want, I won't do it.
The Time Lord spoke one word.
Daleks.
The Doctor spun round.
Daleks? Well, what about them?
The Time Lord paused, as if collecting his arguments, then said,
Our latest temporal projections foresee a time stream in which the Daleks will have destroyed all other life forms. They could become the dominant creatures in the universe.
That has always been their aim,
agreed the Doctor grimly.
Go on.
We'd like you to return to Skaro at a point in time just before the Daleks evolved.
Immediately, the Doctor guessed the Time Lord's plan.
And prevent their creation?
That, or alter their genetic development, so they evolve into less aggressive creatures? At the very least, you might discover some weakness, which could serve as a weapon against them.
The Doctor tried to look as if he was thinking it over. But it was no more than a pretense. He couldn't resist the idea of a chance to defeat his oldest enemies once and for all.
Oh, all right. All right, I suppose I'll have to help you. Just one more time. Return me to the TARDIS.
No need for that, Doctor. This is Skaro.
The Time Lord gestured at the desolate scene around them.
Skaro. After 1,000 years of war between Khalids and Thals, we thought that it would save time if we assumed your agreement.
He tossed something to the Doctor, who caught it instinctively. He found himself looking at a heavy, ornately designed bangle in a metal that looked something like copper. It wasn't copper, of course, any more than the object was the simple ornament it appeared to be.
A time ring, Doctor. It will return you to the TARDIS when your mission is finished. Don't lose it, will you? It's your lifeline. Good luck.
The Time Lord vanished, as suddenly and silently as he had appeared.
Just a minute!
Yelled the Doctor.
What about my two human companions?
As if in answer, a voice called from the fog.
Doctor! Where are you?
Sarah!
The Doctor began running towards the sound. Almost immediately, he lost his balance and skidded down a long, muddy slope. Sarah Jane Smith and Harry Sullivan were waiting for him at the edge of a big shell crater. Sarah was a slim, pretty girl in fashionable clothes. On Earth, she was a journalist, though that life seemed very far away now. Harry was a square-jawed, blue-eyed, curly-haired young man. He had the rather dated good looks of the hero of an old-fashioned adventure story. Harry was a naval man, a doctor. He was attached to UNIT, the security organization to which the Doctor was scientific advisor. Harry had made the mistake of doubting the power of the TARDIS. This amazing device, in appearance an old-fashioned police box, was in fact the machine in which the Doctor traveled through time and space. Harry had rashly accepted the Doctor's challenge to
come for a little trip.
Now,